And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is January 25th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. We'll be right back after this song.
Freedom Train. But there was a greater one, known as friend to Abraham, said, get on up and get aboard my freedom train. Freedom train, freedom train. Get on up.
It's coffee time, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is January 25, 2025, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here, and I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Richard. And good morning, Tim. And good morning, Paul. And, Paul, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go across the airwaves with the gospel, the good news, Lord. And we just pray that we'll have an effect on the people and encourage them, Lord. The truth sometimes is just hard to swallow, especially when living a lie, Lord. And we just pray that your spirit will go across this country and wake up people, save those of yours that are his, Lord, and remove the evil men from this. Psalm 83, we're asking that you would do that for us. And Lord, we just put a blessing on this time on the air and that we would be a benefit to our fellow man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Well, we'll go ahead and start off with you, Paul, this morning. What do you have to want to start us off with this morning?
I'm not sure. I'd like somebody else to start. But anyway, I'll say, you know, I'm a little upset with Trump. You know, he wants to change the Gulf of Mexico. That ain't nothing to do. You know, you go back to old George Washington, spend his time on his knees. This country needs to be fixed internally. You know, and I think he's going to tick off Russia and China if they're going to attack. I believe we're set up for that Ezekiel thing. And I think he's just got a little bit of an ego. He's going to, you know, show people what to do. And it just scares me because curse the man that trusteth the man. I know that, and I sure hope he's a good man because I'd love to be wrong. But there's something wrong with his picture, especially when you are friends with God's enemies, and that's another curse on us. So, yeah. That's my take on it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, to me, that was one of the changing the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of the United States of America was just is a waste of resources and a waste. I mean, how it's been called the Gulf of Mexico for forever, and it's where and it's basically a sewer pit also.
But, yeah, whatever. It's just not what's going to fix America.
No.
You know, if it's got to be, you know, if you go in his office there and get on his knees and not tell anybody, you know, then we'd be on the right channel. But I think, look at all the people that are around him, all people with big money, you know, and how did they get it? They got it in Babylon. And, yeah, if you humble yourself, God will fight our battles. But I just see this kind of... That whole thing just kind of flipped my switch. And I'd just love to be wrong, let me tell you that.
Yeah. I know. I've seen some things that I don't like. I've seen some things that I do like. And I tell you what, one of the things that I do like is that executive order deciding that there was only two genders. I mean, that's pretty simple. And we've been talking about that for a long time. And it was, you know, how simple that was. But, you know, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing how many people he ticked off and how many people he lost support over that. I mean, that was definitely a good one.
Well, so what? You know, so what, you lost them? You know, you ain't got many friends anyway. And that's the truth. Well, your enemies for telling the truth, but, you know, at least he said it publicly, and that's a good part. And you're right, he's doing some good things. But I think he could be, you know, a little bit more humble about it and God-fearing. That's my take on it. But then, how do I know? Nebuchadnezzar, my servant.
Yeah, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller. Okay, well, they're on. All right. Well, the number to call in is 970-224-4203. It's 970-224-4203.
Well, the job of being a watchman or a prophet's never a popular job, and you have to hold people to a higher standard. I mean, we do it even with each other. It's not always an easy thing or a popular thing. We're not out here to win a popularity contest. We're out here to serve the kingdom of God. So, you know, when you see those things, I mean, I have the same issue with some of the things as far as this new Stargate mRNA vaccine program thing that's going on. I mean, $500 billion to AI infrastructure that's been reboxed and called. You know, it's stuff that's older than dirt. It's just and the name of the outfit's doing it, OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank. I mean, you know, we I'm telling you, this is some bad stuff. You know, it's like, and this is supposedly going to be the largest AI infrastructure project in history. So, some of these things. Should not be played around with and not be messed with. And, you know, when you see some of this going on, it leaves the guy kind of cold.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. One of the ones that I was reading this morning was Bill Gates' venture aims to spray dust into the atmosphere to block the sun. What could go wrong? Microsoft's billionaire founder Bill Gates is financially backing the development of a sun-dimming technology that would potentially reflect sunlight out of the Earth's atmosphere, triggering a global cooling effect. The stratospheric-controlled Incubation experiment launched by Harvard University Science aims to examine this solution by spraying non-toxic calcium carbonate dust into the atmosphere, a sun-reflecting aerosol that may offset the effects of global warmings. And, you know, I see so much of this stuff with this AI stuff, with this, you know, them trying to control the weather, them trying to, it basically, it just what it boils down to is they're, you know, warring against God, and they're fighting against God, and they're pretending to be gods. And I think that they're messing with stuff that they shouldn't be messing with. I think that's a lot of like what's of the stuff that was taking place in the Book of Enoch also.
Yeah, they're just, but they want to be God. They want to be God. They, you know, we know these mRNA and all these shots and stuff, they're wanting to change the DNA of Adam. And you know, they're seeing all these people that took the shots, all the heart problems, you know, suddenly dead. That's still happening. And it is, they're wanting to play God. And it's just going to come to their ruin, that's for sure. But when the people stand up for it and agree to it, it's not a good thing. It's not.
We're gonna go. We got a caller on the line. We're gonna go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. Hello. You're on the air. Okay, well, if you're not going to talk, if we put you on, then don't bother calling in. All right. We'll go back to you, Richard.
Well, and...
Oh. We'll go back to you, Richard.
About that, trying to keep it muted when I'm not talking. It just is. It's that way. You know, Paul made a great point in, you know, what Trump is doing. He's done some great things. Like you mentioned, you know, the gender, you know, straightening that out. It's crazy we even have to do that. But, you know, exporting the illegals, sending the military to the border, stopping, you know, trying to stop the invasion. There's been some good things, but yeah, there's certainly not perfect. There's some things going on. This, like you said, Paul, this big money and this, you know, the furthering. We need to be on our knees. We need to be continuing to pray and to letting other people know that. I think again, it's another opportunity that you know, Trump's not the savior. If he's doing some good things, that's good, but. We do need to be praying and holding him and our other leaders to a higher standard that, hey, to make America great again, we got to be good again, according to the word, and back to the Bible, back to that, not the church, but to the Bible.
And I'm excited about a lot of things. I'm seeing a lot of people that are doing just that and people that are waking up and, you know, a lot of that's been through hardships over the, you know, years. I mean, we've got political changes that have taken place. We've got still got a lot of stuff that needs to be done. And, you know, people need to be, you know, I've heard it and people talking about the reprieve and the time to, oh, it's a, you know, time to take a breath, time to take a break, this and that. And it's like, no, I mean, and I've never had that that feeling or wanted to do that. I think it's a time to, you know, fight forward, and we need to continue to fight for this country and you know, spread the gospel, spread the good news, and that's what we've been really trying to do here on SFA. I mean, broadcast, and we're not broadcasting 24 hours a day on shortwave. We've been broadcasting several hours a day, and up until recently, we did have some breakdowns at the station and working on a modulator that was supposed to be shipped back to us on Friday. So hopefully we can get that back in and get that repair done at the station and be back on shortwave a couple hours a day. And, you know, but broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the internet, streaming on several different platforms. And trying to get the good news out. And I think that, you know, one of the things that, you know, this ministry has constantly tried to put out is who the true biblical people of the Bible are. Who is, basically exposing those that have stolen our birthright. And I feel like now is with all this stuff that we see going on over in Israel, and we see all these Jewish powers and what they're doing, and the warfare that is taking place behind the scenes. I think that now it is, the time to be sharing those things and to, be putting more of that information out. I think the timing is perfect for it.
Well, it is. The Scriptures for America has never gone anywhere. God has preserved it all these times. Somebody wrote the obituary this ministry, and it totally ticked me off, because this thing isn't going anywhere unless God says. We've been, we haven't been real loud because nobody was listening, but we've been around for a long time, and we're not going anywhere because, God wins this battle. There's just no two ways about it. He took us across the Red Sea, the Jordan River, through Europe, and here we are. And he's not going to ever back off on his promise. He might chastise us, and, we got some bills to pay as far as rebellion, but he is going to bring his Israel all the way till Ezekiel says they'll know who I am once and for all.
That's for sure. Yeah, and I look forward to that time when that is. I mean, I think that it's coming too. And we're getting into, predicaments that it's not going to be a man that's going to get us out of it. It's going to be, it's going to be our Heavenly Father delivering His people.
Yeah, and I really think He's provoking Russia and China, and he's irritating them, and with his cockiness and stuff like that, and. They just aren't going to back down. They're not that kind of people. And but God's in control. I mean, we got to stand on that all the time. He says, fear not. If that means fear not, now that's what I'm supposed to do. And I've got to fight it all the time, less than I used to. But, you always have, are they doing this and doing that? So what are they doing? They're building their own funeral is what they're doing.
Yeah, Trump suspended all aid to foreign countries except to Israel.
Yeah, there's the problem right there. We're supporting God's enemies. Now, that's a real curse on us, to be sure.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that clock always runs to zero. I mean, until that cup is full, to the point that God wants it to, and I don't know what where full's at, but until it gets that point, the reset's not up. There is that time, and we're told to hide in the rock, to take that. But if you don't know who you are and understand that, then it makes it a lot more difficult to get on the curve and get on the understanding of it. And when you're reading your mail and it's written to you, then you understand what it's about. And but if you don't know who you are, then you don't.
Yes, good, very good point. And I've seen, and I think that's one of the that's one of the big problems that we've had over the years. And I've talked to a lot of people that even about the we used to call it the Christian identity movement or whatever, whatever you want to call it. But, and they'd say, I believe it, but I can't say it. And it was that big of an issue to them. They didn't want people to look at them differently, or they didn't want it to affect their life. And to me, that's one of the, I mean, that's our heritage. That's our bloodline. That's where we came from. That's who we are. That's we're God's chosen people. We are sons and daughters of a king. I mean, that to me, that's huge, and that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, that's what got Esau in trouble. He sold his birthright, and that ticked God off big time. When you got a birthright from God, much is required of you.
Yes.
Well, yeah, despising it sure doesn't make God happy, does it? For sure. Because that's what it says. He despised his birthright. So I think that would make probably any parent unhappy. I mean, to have your children despise what you have for them.
It seems like that's what society has done. I think that's what Esau's done today is, they've taught that in the schools. They've taught the whites to feel guilty for being white. You see that all the time. People apologizing for being white. I like how you put that, Paul. It pisses God off. He probably does as well. God says, hey, listen, I created you to take care of this place, and you're ashamed of it. And it ties in with, being ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. And if we are, he'll be ashamed of us when he returns. And that's not a good thing. But they've done a good job, for them, but it's been a bad job for us. And again, it ties in what you, like you said, Jason, explaining to people that's such an important, an importance to know who we are, to know that we are the people that settled this nation are the people of the Bible, are the Hebrew, the Israelites, the dispersion, the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And they have a great responsibility that has been shirked, has been just thrown aside for the pleasures of the world.
Look at your dollar bill on the backside. There's 13 arrows with 13 leaves. There's 13 stars and everything. Now, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. And the reason there's 13 is because Ephraim and Manasseh got Joseph's birthright. And that's why there's 13, in my opinion. But they knew who we were. Less than, 200 years ago. And that was common knowledge.
Yeah, Ezekiel 38, I want to read this. Derek sent in a scripture starting with verse 11, and it says, "And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, who live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates, capture the spoils and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the ruins that are now inhabited and against the peoples who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired livestock and goods, who live at the center of the world. The merchants of Tishon and its villages will say to you, have you come to capture spoils? Have you assembled your contingent to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away the livestock and the goods, to capture great spoils?" Good scripture, Derek. Oh, okay, 14 says, "Therefore prophesy, son of man, saying to Gog, what is what the Lord God says? On that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding horses, a large assembly of and a mighty army." Yeah, it's a good scripture, Derek. Appreciate that.
Yeah, when you read George Washington's vision, he's seen that cloud, that big cloud that was coming as, all the people out of the Middle East and stuff getting together and coming to us, attacking us. Israel's been under attack since Adam and Eve. We've been hated, but we've been blessed continuously when we obey him. He takes care of our enemies, but he uses our enemies to chastise us. So, and we got it coming. There's nothing denying that. So this nation has rejected him. When you even got to come across with, you got to put there's a male and female. I mean, there is nothing. I mean, it's a doggone simple. I can understand it. But it's a big deal now. It should be common knowledge. Basically, it is. People are just, the white race has been beat down where they won't say crap anymore, And that's one thing Trump has done for us. People are more outspoken than they've ever been, including us.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm encouraged by. I mean, the RFK stuff and what he's doing, and the farming practices and different things like that. I mean, you know, and how they're going to push regenerative agriculture. I mean, I believe that that's answer to prayer, and to people, you know, turning back to God, and God keeping his promise where he's going to heal the land, because the land's been sick and poisoned and on an IV for a long time. And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the book Dirt to Soil, and, you know, what Joe Salatin's been doing on regenerative agriculture and stuff like that. To see that kind of stuff that is, you know, being put out on a national level, and is huge. And I think that I know that that is, I know God's pleased with that, and that he has his hands on that as well. So, you know, that part is really encouraging.
It is. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of good things going on. But, you know, I've done some, what you call, miraculous things with plant health and stuff like that. But what I've come to the conclusion is that this country is a spiritual problem, because there ain't no way I can fix it unless somebody wants to fix it themselves. And they have to have a different mindset. You know, you have to just figure out we're on the wrong track. You know, Joe Gallatin, too, you know, everything I want to do is illegal. Now, the USDA and everything is against us, and they're not against, they're not for the truth. And the truth, you know, just irritates some people.
Well, and I think I see one of the things that occurred to me on what we're seeing going on with a lot of the current events is it's kind of like the body politic is very sick, you know, and we would agree that there is so many things going on that shouldn't be going on, but God is in the process of healing it, and I don't know that he can do whatever he wants, however fast he wants, but I also think that a lot of times he says he has grace, that he wants everyone to be there that can be, and I think that this detoxification of the country and of all the situations that are going on, I mean, he understands, Lord knows I don't, he understands the steps required to bring about the changes necessary in a orderly and, you know, concentric and consecutive fashion. And my faith has enough depth to say, hey, Lord, you know, what you're doing is the right thing, and you know, blessed is the name of the Lord. I don't understand it all, but I know that whatever's going on right now is according to his plan and his purpose. And we can see some of the bad things, but then we're talking about some of the good things, but they're all progressive steps toward a healing, I think, a lot of them are, and toward waking people up and toward bringing other people into the fold that need to get there before that clock runs to zero. So there's opportunity there for those people yet who have not renewed their, or, you know, claimed their place in the kingdom. I mean, I think that God works that way. I mean, you know, he's constantly and consistently moving us forward the way we need to go.
Yes, I agree. And I think that that's, you know, that's part of growing up, and you know, like Josh was talking about a couple of weeks ago, you know, do you want everything just to be really easy on you? You know, it's not that you know, easiness that makes you tough and makes you strong. It's the hardships and the, you know, breaking down, just like when you're working out. And that's what I see. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, things have been difficult, things have been hard, things are still, you know, difficult and hard, but I'll tell you what, being blessed out of it. I mean, just knowing the truth and, you know, just being able to have the mindset of being thankful for what we've got on a, you know, a daily basis. I see people that are belly aching and moaning about, you know, everything from, you know, the price of eggs to the price of gasoline. And okay, so you're going to belly ache about it for so much that, you know, you put yourself in a funk and you're depressed about it. that don't do a person any good. And you've already been defeated because you're just complaining nonstop, and God doesn't like a complainer.
Well, you know, my father-in-law retired, I don't know how many years ago, and he said, well, I just can't save no money. I said, can you pay your bills? He said, yeah, well, just be thankful. And I think he took it to heart.
I think,
you know, even now, you know, if I can't plan my future because I don't know my money's any good or anything, I just don't know the future. But I do know who holds the future, and he will take care of us. You know, Joshua and Caleb got to go to the promised land. Everybody else died in the wilderness, you know, and don't want to die in the wilderness because God can take care of us. You know, in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath for as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now, as far as I know, that's 70 years, and that's coming. I don't know how it's going to work. You can feed this man and he shall be, but that's coming. That land will get its Sabbath. You know, they got us farming from, like they call fence row to fence row stuff, just to pay the banker and stuff like that. But this stuff is coming. And, you know, that what Joel Salen and, you know, the earth, the soil, and all that stuff, and it's all on the right track. But to have that be completed, we have to bring the scripture into the whole picture, and that's what's still lacking. You know, a lot of organic people, you know, they're holy because they're just like religion. They're holy because they don't do this and that. But the issue is God's word.
Yep. It has to be lived and be part of your life. And there's a continuation of it, like from the garden on, like we said. So, we see. I see them attacking agriculture to a large degree. It's I was thinking about this egg situation and this influenza A or whatever they're calling that bird flu. But they are going up. They are, but eggs are the only thing when you really study into it, or one of the few things that defeat these spike proteins of this mRNA vaccine. They're one of those kind of, and God gave us that to heal us, to help us. So you start looking at that, like there's, but God,
well, according to,
we got a caller on the line. We'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Good. This is Kevin in Ohio, and I'm really liking what Trump's doing with the border. They're sending elements of the 82nd Airborne and the 10th Mountain Division, and these are combat teams. So that's a very good plus.
Yep, it is.
And he's shutting down all transfer of any weaponry, anything at all, into Ukraine. And that's just terrific. I mean, they're going to be shut down. And what Richard said earlier about how everything is against the white man, I'm a real buff on early Westerns from the 30s and 40s, Tim McCoy, Buck Jones, and all those guys. And if you watch those, their number one compliment to another man was, that's mighty white of you. Have you guys heard that?
I have. Yep.
That just worked. Yeah. Well, if you watch those in the 30s, 40s, it was in almost, you know, so many of them. And then they also sang Westerns to the tune of, we wear our Israel crown proudly, you know, on our trail back to town and all that sort of thing. And I just love it when I hear it. But as we know, it's no longer done. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call.
God bless.
God bless. Well, and that's one of the things that that I was excited about, is just of how fast things happened, is shutting the border down. I mean, that was like, wow. It's still a work in progress, but they started working that immediately. And, it was I mean, they just stop the invasion.
Well, and declaring cartels as terrorist organizations is not was not a bad thing either. I mean, basically, they're out there using extreme force and horrific acts to enforce their will and to scare people off. So
we already knew they were a terrorist organization, but now it's just official.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So there's that. You know, and there's. Currently, maybe that's what Kevin was talking about, but they've got, you know, military forces on the way down there to the border for that situation. And it's like, one of the states, I can't remember which one it was right off the top of my head, but one of the eastern states is talking about putting $1,000 bounty on the bounty hunters, or $1,000 bounty on for bounty hunters to collect some of these really bad actors that are illegal aliens. You know, and I was like, that's interesting, isn't it? So there's and these things all have, it's just like you don't put the name of Jesus in your mouth without there being either consequences or blessings or both. I mean, you just don't do it. That's the way it is. So when you start to, you don't bat that name around with impunity. So we're definitely have these kind of factors, you know, coming in, and they're at play.
Yeah, it's fixing something that's broken. I think that's the, you know, that's how I look at it. We've shifted. There's a different spirit in the land. There's a different thought process. It's not going to all get done at one dime. Jason, your son Justice is rebuilding a truck. You guys are rebuilding a truck. You know, it's a process. Got to pull the engine. You got to redo that. You got to work on this. Needs a windshield. Got to work on the interior. There's a lot to do. And so you do it a little bit at a time every day, right? You do a little bit more and you start seeing progress. You know, just pulling the engine, well, that doesn't look like a lot of progress, but it is progress. And I think that's how we are as a nation now. We're making progress towards getting this thing fixed. And it can't all be in the physical, that's for sure. But when we can, and if, like 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if the people here will combine this common sense that we're getting back to, along with turning back to God, it the sky's the limit. I mean, it will be fantastic. If the people will do that, I think we need to continue to be praying for our leaders, our local leaders, our national leaders, that they do that very thing. You know, our Vice President J.D. Vance spoke at the March to Life this week, and he's like, I want to see more beautiful families. I want to see more babies in this land. Now, he didn't say to white people because he's married to an Indian. But, you know, he's of that Scotch dispersion descent. And, you know, in the times we're in, you can't really get out there and say, hey, I want to see more white babies out there. But I think that was what was understood. And that's so much better than how it's been in the past. And so it's, you know, we're getting closer. I think we are to getting this thing rebuilt.
We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Nick, can you hear me?
Hey, Warren.
Yeah, I was just calling in. You got an interesting morning going on. I was just going to call in and mention the fact, you know, how Pastor Peters always talked about the Mother Goose nursery rhymes. I want to pray that they start teaching them again in our schools. You know, and the one I'm thinking of is, you know, Humpty Dumpty. I've always thought of America as Humpty Dumpty, you know, or even the world now fell off the wall. You know, all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I pray that, you know, the king put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Well, as you know, like Pastor Peter said, all those Mother Goose nursery rhymes are a way of teaching her.
Yep.
Our children a simple way, and so I'm going to pray for Humpty Dumpty.
Well, I appreciate that, Warren. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And we'll go stay with the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
So I first heard about y'all's ministry when I was actually in prison.
Okay.
And a buddy of mine, which he's still in prison, he's doing a life sentence, but he told me about the ministry, and I'm out in the free world now. But I was actually calling. I'm in Michigan now.
Yep.
I was in Texas. So I don't know. I mean, when I can afford it, of course, I'll buy some material from you. But right now, to be honest, I just can't afford to really pay anything but my bills. But now, the Dragon Slayer newsletter, do y'all deliver that to houses?
Yeah, we send that out in the mail. I'll tell you what, if you want more information on it and stuff, you can call back after we get off the radio, and I can give you some more information on that.
Okay, when would be a good time for you? Sorry for interrupting the radio.
Oh, that's fine. Just call back in about 20 minutes. We'll be off at the top of the hour.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A lot of my friends have been in prison, so I don't hold that against them.
No, I don't either.
That is always so encouraging to hear. You know, it's like the one, right, the 10 that were healed and the one comes back. We send so much into the prisons, so many newsletters, so many, and a lot get returned. People get released, they get transferred, but it is so encouraging when somebody makes it out and, you know, it maybe the Bible law course or they've, like he said, he had a buddy that told him about it. You know, that's spreading the gospel. It really is. And it's encouraging when the prisoner comes back and says, hey, I want to know more. And when I can, I want to support you and help with this. It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like we were on the air the other night. Somebody called in and said our prayers worked. I mean, they were ecstatic. So, and that makes it all worth it. You know, it don't take much to make us happy.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, I think one of the big mistakes that we make and one of the big mistakes that we've been making about what we've been talking about is, you know, we've got to figure in the remnant. There is a remnant of a remnant that's going to be saved. There's going to be a remnant that wants the things. We're not talking about, you know, the whole world or even just the United States wanting the same things that we want. They don't desire the things that we want. They don't want to see the changes that we want. You know, when we're baptized in the for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, I mean, that transfers us from one domain to another. And there's going to be a lot of people that fight against us just because of that. And, you know, we've got to keep in mind that this is war and we're practicing warfare. And it's, you know, spiritual warfare sometimes, it's physical warfare sometimes. But there's going to be people that, you know, if we want the border shut down, they don't want the border shut down. If we want healthier food, they don't want healthier food. If we want white people to have jobs, they don't want white people to have jobs. If we want women in the homes, they don't want women in the homes. It's just, you know, it's a remnant. And, you know, we want, we talk about, you know, everybody working together to do this. It's not going to be everybody working together for this. You know, we are set apart and different than the masses. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things this ministry has been. It hasn't been for the masses. It's been for the remnant. And we definitely need to keep that in mind.
Well, you know, missionaries, you know, I've never seen a missionary that I really give a crap about that I've ever met face to face. But there was one. He was in North Africa, and he was dealing with people that weren't ours. But what they would do, they would give him a trade and send them back into the people. Now, that was intelligent. That's the only right one I've ever seen. Most of them are on a tropical religious vacation and have no absolutely, you know, in Haiti, I know they've had no effect on the whole country. first of all, we don't have our own country in order, so we shouldn't really be anywhere preaching anything until we get ourselves together.
Well, and I kind of like what 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I think a lot of times that's that remnant. And, you know, got to admit, some of us are pretty peculiar. I mean, but, you know, that's just, we're trying to do it God's way. And we're not great at it either. I mean, or at least I'm not. I mean, I struggle and try to figure out what God wants and how I'm supposed to do things. And, you know, it's a constant learning curve there to try to be acceptable to him, you know, so that you can be part of that, and that you can work with that, do it. And I don't think it's probably going to end until you take a dirt nap, you know, so that's kind of the way that works.
I got a message from Derek up in Canada, and he was telling me, he sent me a picture, and it is basically they got the same thing that we've got going on as far as their invasion. Differences is they're not doing really anything to try to stop it right now. I mean, I think they tried to slow down, from what I understand, the you know, these ragheads from coming in, but these ragheads that have been coming in up into Canada, they've been taking on these trucking jobs, and they're driving the semi trucks. And there was just he sent me a couple pictures of just a horrific wreck. They come in, and they come into the country, and then they put them in a semi truck and send them down the interstate. This one left three people dead. And there's, I mean, it's just, you looking at the damage, it is, I mean, just unbelievable. And, I mean, it's just, they're getting overrun, just as much as we are. And hopefully they can, we just need to remember to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters up in Canada too, because, they've got it bad up there as well. It's a serious problem.
One thing about ragheads, they have no love for life or anything. You know, that's just, you know, you go to a store, and around here too, you go to a store, you can just see they have contempt for you. All you are is a financial blessing or curse to them, but they have no love for us. My point is, they don't care if they kill somebody or not with a truck.
No, they don't.
Or themselves.
No, they're like walking around little terrorists.
Just a big weapon.
And they are disgusting people.
God created them for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get us back on there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it is definitely exciting times, that's for sure. And, you know, as we talk about a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's going to, you know, the change is going to come when we start making those changes in our personal lives and in our families, and, you know, and recognizing that we are the remnant. And, you know, of course, you know, the problem is even knowing that we're part of the remnant, and it's only going to be a few, we always want more. And we think that there's more in numbers. And that's why the Gideon story is there for us to recognize that it's not about the numbers. It's not about getting more people. Every time we think we need more people and more people to get on the bandwagon with us, more people to agree with us, you know, the Lord has a way of humbling it and cutting it down and shrinking it up, and you know, he does that because, you know, he's not going to share in his glory. And I really believe that God is delivering his people. But the deliverance for his people is going to be, I think it's going to be a lot different than anybody really realizes.
I don't think we can comprehend it, but I remember when the first time I met Pastor Peters face to face, and I said, what about the other people? He said, that proves you're an Israelite. See, because we care about those people. You know, and we got to spread the gospel, and the difference is if they grasp it or not. If you give them personal truth and they grasp it, it's one thing. But you take John Rich's father. He stood on the corner in New Orleans for 34 years, got spit on and everything. That's why he kept doing it. Well, he says, somebody needs me, you know. And it just, that's, you know, that's just an amazing thing that he did that. But that's the truth.
Yeah. It is. And to hear that story and have him talk about it, you know, about, you know, how, you know, one in 100 or one in 200 of people would actually stop and talk to him or had a question or something like that, or you could pray for him, you know, made it worthwhile.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to remember, to be humble too. Yep.
Well, and a lot of times it comes to me that, you know, we're told to have the mind of Christ, but because Christ suffered the same temptations and the same things that we did while he walked here on earth. But, you know, nowhere does it implies, at least at the very least, that we do not understand the mind of God, because it's higher and greater than we are. And I think a lot of times it's just beyond our capacity to. And that doesn't leave us with the fact that we're not supposed to try, but it's just, and the fact of the matter is Christ, while he walked the earth, said, not my will, Father, but yours. You know, that's what he said. That is about as close as we can actually get to being in the will and understanding the mind of God. It's like, well, I don't understand, but here I am, send me, you know, or, you know, if you want me to do that, that's what I'm going to do. And that obedience is what is required to be in the will of God. Not that he doesn't have to explain his ways to us, because we couldn't understand it anyway.
Well, that's what faith is. You don't need to understand. You just need to be obedient. You know, I'll tell you a little story. My daughter had a dog, and she went to take us some nutritious anyway. She bought fresh meat for me anyway. One of them was pork, and I took it out the barn for my cats. The cats wouldn't even eat that pork. Now, that's terrible. The cat's smarter than a person.
Yeah, it is. I've seen that several times, and it's like you try to force it down an animal, and an animal won't eat it. But you really think that we should be eating it?
If the dog won't even touch it, or the cat won't even touch it, why are you? Yeah, exactly.
Well, read a label on drugs. Everyone's got side effects, and you'd put them in your mouths anyway. Takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it does. I know. I've looked at some of that stuff. I was at somebody's house, and they had a whole pill tray sitting there, and I was looking at it and was getting a kick out of it, reading the side effects on this stuff. And I'm looking at it, and it's like, man, I wouldn't want to take that one. I wouldn't want to take that one. And there wasn't anything that I would have wanted to take. I thought, man, this is, you know, could cause heart attack, could cause depression, could cause suicidal tendencies, could cause this, could cause that. And it's like, man, sometimes I feel like I need something, but boy, I think the side effects are worse than any of the benefits that you might want to take it for. I'd rather be sick than take this garbage.
Some of them say may cause death or death-like symptoms. I'm not sure what a death-like symptom is, you know. I mean, but you know, it's just like, wow, there's some things there that just leave a guy scratching his head.
Yeah, I think they'd make you wish you were dead, make you feel so bad. And then you contrast that with more natural things, vitamin C, vitamin D, eating apples, getting good apples and eating. You eat too many, you'll know it. You take too much vitamin C, you'll know it. Back off a little bit. I don't know that you could take too much vitamin D. You know, as long as we've been having it and taking it as much as we've taken, everything I see, that stuff, it flushes out within a couple of days anyway. And so what a contrast. you know, eating clean food, you know, doing your best to follow the biblical food laws, it's just different. It really is. And yeah, you don't have those death-like causing side effects or whatever that was. That's hilarious. It's sad. It's really not funny. It's sad. But and yeah, the people just take, and they're proud of it. You know, they're proud of it. Oh yeah, I take this for that and that for this, and they cling to it and hold it like it's you know, like it's saving them or something, and it's not saving them at all.
Yeah, they're proud of it. They have a knee replaced or hip replaced. They're just proud of it. It's like a badge, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, yeah. good health and not needing it's a heck of a lot better.
Yeah. I just read a study the other day that they were talking about protein and amino absorption, and one of the things that they said in the study that was really interesting was the fact that eggs with the yolk are the number one protein source available to us today. You know, a whole egg is like, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it was 37% absorbed. But they also said that if you don't take the yolk with it, you know, just do like, of course, these, what are they, egg white omelets or, you know, well, I'll just have the egg white, you know. But if you don't do that, it goes down to like 12%. I mean, it's like, God makes things for us. And I don't understand in our foolishness, we are, you know, we separate things out, and it's some kind of, there's a lot of people out there who are gross this and gross that. And, we see these vegan lifestyles and a lot of other things and the problems that they cause, but it's all this putting on airs in your mind. It's some kind of a club, you know.
Well, look at an egg. What does it look like? It looks like the sun, a good source of vitamin C and D and everything else. And, you know, God had this all figured out, you know, and we just got to quit being so smart and think we're smarter than him.
Yeah. One of the things that I've noticed, and we're talking about just, you know, trying to eat clean and everything like that, it's like what I've noticed too is just how much stuff that they just slip a little bit of the pork into it. You know, you have something that is, you know, 98%, you know, beef sausage sticks, and then they got to put 2% pork into it, or it'll be a chicken something and they'll put a little bit of pork in it, or they'll put this and that and put that in that. And, you know, they just, I think that that's what it is they want to, they want people eating it. They know that it's poison, and they know that we're not supposed to eat it. And you know, it's definitely hard. I mean, you go down you're trying to find something to eat, trying to eat a meat for breakfast at a restaurant or in a grocery store is next to impossible. It's just sometimes you can find some turkey bacon. Once in a while, you can find some beef bacon. But other than that, it's, you know, pork sausage, pork bacon, everything. You know, they'll have 20 different kinds of pork bacon at the grocery store. And everything else that they got in the meat market is mixed with it. It's just, yeah, it's and I think that I believe that it's by design. You know, I mean, a lot of people, and I know a lot of people are talking, we're talking about, oh, how, you know, you can raise them cheap, you can do this with them and this and that. If we put as much effort into raising beef or chickens or turkey as we did on pigs, well, you know, there's no reason to have pigs.
Right. Let me ask you, man, does anybody, any of you men on the phone and on the radio, do you suffer from gout? Anybody have gout? Paul, do you suffer from gout?
I don't.
Or Tim, do you?
No, I don't.
No, but you know what? Every older man that I know that eats pig suffers from gout. Painful, just joint in this one item right there, just one, that I think is perfectly attributed to